While saying that no matter what happens, there will always be pain in the end, so you just gotta learn to live with it and keep going.
Welcome to the Monarch Experience Podcast. I am your host, Mr. Ancona, and here at the Monarch Experience Podcast, we are all about giving students the platform to be able to voice their opinions about what matters most to them. And today, we're talking about lessons learned through sports. We're going to be talking about what benefits we found certain students have had on the court or on the field, how those certain benefits, skills, or attributes have translated to other places, maybe in the classroom, maybe just as a human being. We're going to be chatting about their most proud moments on the field, on the court, wherever their sport specifically is. Talking about most humbling experiences during this, where you were kind of realizing, man, I don't know as much as I thought I knew. Talking also about just that feeling of being a part of a team and kind of how sports enable so much more than just like physical exertion, because realistically, we're not going to be playing sports for the rest of our lives. But a lot of those lessons that we learn on the court, on the mat, on the diamond, whatever it may be, those are things that can translate to when you're a teenager, when you're an adult, when you're an old person, when you're bald, whatever it may be. But before we get into this episode today on the lessons learned through sports, we got some major shout outs. It's been such a long time since I've done major shout outs. We're all kind of just trying to get through the year, trying to make sure that we're surviving everything. I don't think I've done any all year, so maybe I can make up for 12 episodes right now all in one shot. So just randomly, a few students, here's 12, that have been killing it with the research paper process as of April 16th, that I want to just throw their names out and just kind of highlight some amazing achievements. We are not limited to just these students, though. So I don't want if anyone's like, Mr. Ancona, you didn't say my name. I'll get you on the next one. I promise. Just keep working hard. Don't worry. I see you. Larissa, killing it. Kayla, killing it. No pun intended, Kayla. Whoops. Sammy's doing an amazing job. Meher, Evangeline, you got like 7,000 note cards in 4 days. Who's better than you? Nobody. Ethan, you've been doing an amazing job, man. Really proud of your turnaround. Hannah, Michael P., who was on a Super Bowl preview episode. You all know him. And of course, Simran, who has surpassed Mason with the amount of note cards that she has. So major props, major shout out for those students. Obviously, they're not just limited to just them. There's so many others that I can highlight that I will get to. So let me get to them. And other things that we got going on before we jump right into this episode, as of the release date of this episode, we are about 1 week away from the Student Council logo design contest unveiling, where you are going to be seeing during Flex a video produced and edited and created by the AV Club. We're going to have special guests from years past. We're going to have our original logo designer. I get to sit down and chat with Chloe for a little bit, which was such a great experience. No pun intended. Such a great time getting to catch up with her and just kind of relive some of the nonsense that I put her through and she put me through, probably more of what I put her through. And we're going to highlight every single logo that has been submitted during the logo design contest. And then, of course, the winner will be revealed. We're going to set off fireworks. And those fireworks will explode into the night and will show the logo. That would be so awesome. Man, now whatever we're going to do is just not going to be able to live up to that. Oh, well. But keep an eye out for that. We're going to be showing that during Flex, during school. So instead of doing Achieve and IXL and a million different online programs, you're going to sit back, hopefully, take a break, a well-deserved break, just for one period, once. And just watch an amazing video that Student Council, the Monarch Experience Podcast, and AV Club has put together. So be on the lookout for that. All right, enough about all that. We got three incredible athletes, three incredible students. We've got eighth grader Jason. Jason, say hello to our audience.
Hello.
We've got Alan, who is a sixth grader. Alan, say something to our audience.
Hello.
And then we've got, last and certainly not least, we've got Annette, sixth grader also. Annette, say something to our audience.
Hi. How's everyone doing?
Annette, first and foremost. No offense, Jason and Ellen. It is great to finally get to meet you. Annette and I have been going back and forth via email, I think, like, what, 70 emails, Annette?
Yep.
Which I think, one, is a compliment, right? It's one, I think it's a testament to your personality, how personable you are, it's so easy to kind of just get dissuaded by, like, hey, here's what I was thinking for the topic. We could do something on sports. And me be like, yeah, but like, what's our angle? What's our scope? What's our purpose? It's so easy to kind of just go, well. And you're not like that, I can tell, which is really, really awesome. Jason, Alan, Alan, you and I have talked a lot too.
Yeah.
Alan, you excited for the logo reveal?
Definitely.
Yeah. Alan is one of our 20 students that submitted a design for the logo design contest that you guys are going to get to see the winner and the new Monarch Experience podcast logo in about a week as of when this is released. Nervous? Confident? What are your thoughts, man?
I'm nervous and, well, I just can't wait.
You want to know, right? You put in all this work and I know all the other students have too. Jason? Well, Jason, it's great to finally meet you, and now I will be on the lookout for you when I take my 15 sips of water every 30 minutes.
Yep.
All right. So we got a getting to know you question, although I feel like we're getting to know each other pretty well right now. You're all athletes, so I feel like it's only appropriate. Would you rather never win or never play? Now, let me specify, because whenever I do this with my students, they're always like, do you know you're always going to lose? Sure. But there's always a chance. It could be a tie game and you somehow lose in the most ridiculous, unbelievable way possible. You can be driving down the football field thinking, this is going to be the chance. I know I'm going to lose every time, but like, no, it's going to happen today. And somehow something bad happens that you lose every single time. Or would you just never play? Alan, we're going to start with you, man. What do you think?
I would
never win, never play.
I would never win because even if I never get to win, I still get to play at the same level because you never specified that. And winning, it's not always the best thing out there, although most people value winning over everything. You still get the same experience, and your level can improve, and eventually you'll get there even if you keep losing.
Alan, I love it. Annette, what do you think? Never win, never play.
I think it's going to be never win. I mean, just the satisfaction of playing for me is a win itself. And either way, whatever I put on that field is a win for me because I did my best to get to that. So it's going to be never win for me.
Yeah, because you're going to lose no matter how good you are at some point, right? So you could still feel proud of what you've accomplished is what I'm hearing. I love it. Jason, are we going 3 for 3? Never win, never play.
Yeah, you're going 3 for 3. I just feel like as much times as you lose at this age, like if you're young, it really doesn't matter if you win. It matters how you play, how you develop, because, you know, in 10 years, you're not going to tell your child, oh, I beat whatever 2-1 or whatever score it was. And no one's going to care. It matters how you play, what you do, and how you get better.
We're going to go 4 for 4 here. And I'm not surprised because the four of you are athletes, and I would imagine you're competitive. And I cannot imagine a competitive person saying, nah, I just don't want to compete then. Because it's about the competing that I think you get that drive, that you get that like euphoria from. So we're going 4 for 4 with that. Let's talk about what sports you guys all play or have played. But also I want to focus on where we're going to at least start this conversation on what benefits you found kind of spilling over from on the court, on the diamond, on the mat, or wherever your specific sport was, and where those skills or benefits or positive things learned kind of have spilled over to other places in your life. Annette, you want to start us off?
Sure.
All right. So what sport do you play?
I do Taekwondo. It's a awesome. Korean martial art. And I also do basketball.
Awesome.
I can't possibly list how much it's taught me. A few of the benefits it's taught me is perseverance. I think that's a big one in every sport you get. Hard work, teamwork, positivity, and most of all, responsibility. It's a key factor to know how to manage your time, manage school, but have like piano lessons and sports at the same time. And like just arrange everything to fit your schedule. But I think the biggest thing for me is hard work. I have to admit, when I first started all my sports, I was not the best. And as I put in my hard work, I saw my growth.
And that the one that really jumped out at me was the time management. And I know it's maybe a little cliche, depending on, I guess, the age group of whoever's hearing this right now. Do you feel like you are more organized when you are busier with sports and school? Or do you feel like you're more organized when you're not? What are your thoughts? And then Jason, I want to jump right to you with there because I saw the head nod. Annette, go ahead.
Definitely when I'm more busier. Like, why? It teaches me that I have to manage the work I have from school, but also manage Taekwondo and piano and basketball and sort of fit everything in. Like, I might have a test coming up in Taekwondo, but then I have a test in school and I have to study for that. But then at the same time, I have a basketball game and a science fair. So I had to put that all in one day and kind of manage my time.
Have you ever thought about, and I'm putting you on the spot here, like big time, have you ever thought about why you thrive like that? Like,
I think I never thought I was someone who did well under pressure, but I guess maybe the pressure does like give me that boost that I have to get it done. Like, I don't have a choice.
Mm.
So,
cause like time is so limited, right? Mm-hmm. All right. I like it. Nice. Annette, that's awesome. Jason, go ahead. You gave like a major head nod when we were saying like, you're better when you're busier. Jason, what sport do you play? And let's start there and then you could go wherever you want.
Oh yeah. So I play soccer and I feel like with pressure, like Annette said, and being busy, it's better for me because if you don't have anything and don't do anything, it's like, oh, I can just do it tomorrow. I'll have plenty of time. So eventually, after so many times, you're not going to have time to do, let's say, schoolwork or study for a test. It's never going to happen.
Yeah, because you have so much time, right? Quote, you have so much time. I'll do it later. I'll do it tonight. And then tonight comes and you're like, I don't know. I'm kind of tired. You know what? I'll do it tomorrow. If you don't have, I'll go watch a movie right now. But if you don't have that time, the idea of watching a movie doesn't even pop into your head.
It's an afterthought.
Yeah, I agree with it. And then that time, Jason, I'm sure when you have time to watch a movie, you're just like, almost like, what do I do? Like, I have 2 hours to just do nothing.
I mean, you know, like after being so busy, I mean, I wouldn't mind a couple hours to myself and just relax sitting on the couch.
Of course. Yeah. Oh, of course. And I'm sure you've earned it too. But I think it's interesting. I don't know how you guys are, but I'm kind of getting this vibe that like when you are busy, you're thriving the most. I know for me, like I'll get overwhelmed, but I'm also probably my sharpest when I'm busy and I have like task to task to task and I have to get things done. I'm active. So my body's active. My brain is active. I'm not just kind of like, you know, hanging around doing nothing. But let me tell you something. When I do have 2 hours to do nothing, that's a beautiful thing. There's nothing like it. When you're hustling for like a month straight or whatever it is. Yeah, man. Jason, any other aspects from what you've learned on the field playing soccer since you were 4 that have kind of spilled over to other parts of your life?
Yeah, I've played soccer for a while, so I've felt like on my team, I think I don't want to say the most experience, but like it's kind of what it is because I've been played the most, and I feel like a responsibility in myself to like help everyone around me to make the team win and stuff like that. Like I like to feel needed or wanted.
Yeah. And it sounds like you're a leader too, based off of that. like the responsibility of like wanting to help the team.
Well, yeah, like especially like my position in soccer, like I play center midfield, so it's like everything, a goal, whatever happens, it goes through the middle. So if I'm not there, it's, or if someone good isn't there, it's not going to happen.
Alan, what sport do you play? And then where have you seen some of these traits or benefits kind of spill over into other parts of your life?
I play chess most of the time, and then I've also done taekwondo before. I quit because of the testing fees, because I went with my brother for black belt testing. And also partially because of the pandemic, I've learned to keep persisting no matter what happens. Because if you give up in taekwondo, then your goal, for example, becoming a black belt, it will just never happen, because you're not going to get anywhere if you give up. You have to continuously push yourself until you finally get there. And then you also learn that even when there's pain, it's, the day's not over, you can still keep going. You can still survive. So I've learned to just keep going no matter what happens, even when things don't go your way.
Did you say with pain you can kind of keep going? Or am I hearing things? You said pain?
You can go along with pain, but I'm also saying that no matter what happens, there will always be pain in the end. So you just got to learn to live with it and keep going.
Okay, we're not talking like put yourself through physical torture, right? I want our audience to know that that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about self-inflicted pain. But Alan, you're talking about like mental pain of like the grind, as well as also physical pain of, you know, you're doing a contact sport. Am I right?
Yeah, there's multiple pains, but majority of the time it's like, for example, the mental pain, you just messed up something that you could have won.
Yeah.
Or for example, it's a contact sport and you got hurt. You still have to learn to live with it, because nothing's going to be fixed if you just sit there waiting for something to happen. Unless it's an injury, of course.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And we're injuries and pain are totally different, right? And we're talking about the three of you are in contact sports. So I think, again, cliche, but pain sometimes is temporary. We're not talking about injuries, but pain is temporary, right? Like you're hustling on the field and like, you've been running for a while, your quads are burning. That's not going to last forever, right? Or whatever it may be. So, Alan, I love that you brought that up. I think for a sixth grader to have that perspective and mentality, whoo, man, you're going to be all right. You're going to be all right. So, obviously, it wouldn't be a walking contradiction. That's going to be my band's name, by the way. Ancona and the Walking Contradictions. After saying that nobody cares about your high school experience when you're 34, if I didn't share a high school experience about what my sport when I participated taught me. So I wrestled in eighth and ninth grade. And basically, for me, the one thing that really stood out to me was that our coach, when we first got into wrestling with the Mat Rats program in Marlboro, explained, you know, this is not like soccer. This is not like football or baseball or any other sport that is team dependent, because you can say, oh, we lost because this guy missed a block, or we lost because this person didn't move runners over. It's all you. You win alone on the mat, you lose alone on the mat, and there's nobody else to blame, but there's also nobody else to take credit for it with your successes. And as like an eighth grader hearing that, I loved it. I love the idea of like, oh, so this is all me. But I was also willing to take in that accountability. And I think that as I've grown up, as I've gotten older, has just been a part of my life that I've really never kind of shied away from. I love the accountability. I love at times working kind of by myself. I love this podcast. This podcast, when it fails or something goes wrong, it's really just me. But also at the same time, when things do go well, I know that like a lot of the hard work that I've put in, that I can kind of celebrate that, like, all right, give myself a pat on the back. And that also, that mentality is also transfers to weightlifting, which is a huge part of my life. I'm in the gym by myself. I'm the one lifting the weight. Nobody else is. I'm the one failing at lifting the weight. Nobody else is. So I love that accountability, that pressure kind of also. But I love that. And also teaching's the same way at times. I'm in the room by myself. I'm teaching. I'm coming up with stuff to try to be engaging and fun and meaningful. And if it fails, it fails. And that's on me. I sound like Drago. If he dies, he dies. I don't think I realized how much I loved it until I started getting into other things that were kind of accountability and responsibility was like all on my shoulders again, like weightlifting, where it's like, all right, this is my success. Nobody else's. Nobody else can take that. So, I mean, speaking of accountability and proud moments, what were some proud moments? Jason, we'll start with you, man. What was maybe, let's kind of keep it to like the moment maybe you that you've had so far where you're like, man, like, this, I'm going to remember this for a long time.
Well, I don't know. I don't feel like I've had a moment. I mean, I've had a lot of moments that, like, I can't specify one, but, like, I've had a moment where I've scored the winning goal to make my team go into the State Cup semifinals.
That sounds like a moment.
We lost in the semifinals, but I scored the winning goal to put us there, so that's
that's a huge accomplishment. Yeah. Annette, what experience can you recount with Taekwondo? Maybe that you just feel like, man, this was like so far most proud moment I've had.
I gotta go with Jason on there were many moments. Probably when my master, like, sparring for me always was tough, because I wasn't able to kind of do all those rounds straight. Getting my master to say that, to acknowledge my growth, was a big thing for me. And I remember one specific moment would be when I was at testing, and I think, Jason, you were there because your little brother, remember?
Yeah.
And then my master was just saying, like, the growth I've had. And then suddenly he calls me up for an award I got, student of the month. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
You had no idea this was happening.
Annette, I was talking to your older sister about, like, just whatever. And I hear your name, and, like, we were all, like, happy for you that you actually, like, deserve or got something you deserve.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So I'd say that was one of my biggest moments.
I think it's so cool hearing, like, two very different moments, but they're both the same. They're both the result of all of the hard work, all of, like, that, the sacrifice that you've put in, where you can't just sit and just binge on Netflix for 4 hours, right? Like, all that hard work, you both got recognized in a way, in different ways for that. That's killer. Alan, what about you?
Well, some unforgettable moments was, I was playing a chess tournament. It was a super big one. It was the last match, and it was getting late, and I realized I was losing, but I didn't want to give up because I really wanted to win this. So then I randomly started pushing pieces, and then at the end, well, somewhere near the end, I was winning. I could win in 3 moves, but I was super tense. Like, it happens when you're so tense, you just miss things. You're so focused on something. I missed the winning combination, so then I kept playing until it was a draw at the end. It was still, it was painful, but it was still a winning experience because I was able to save the game. But
and you felt like it was sliding away from you.
Yeah, because when it was my opponent's turn and he was thinking, I went back and reviewed the moves, and then I saw the mate in 3, but I didn't play it at that time, so it was painful because I threw away a prize. I don't remember what it is, but it was still a win for me.
Love that. Yeah, I think I really like how different all three of your experiences were that you shared, but they all have different elements, again, like, of that hard work that you put in and being like, you know, Alan, do you feel like this is almost like embracing the pain?
Yeah.
Like, not physical in this situation, but the pain of, like, you're tired. You said, I think it was a long match that you were enduring, and you, like, felt it slipping away. Like, you know, a lesser person, I think, seriously, would just kind of be like, whatever, I don't have it in me today. For me, I think one that I remember, and I don't really remember many experiences from, I mean, this is 2 years, 8th grade and 9th grade wrestling. It was not a huge part of my life. I was the only freshman who won his opening match freshman year, and not a huge accomplishment. Again, I'm not going to be telling my kids about that. Oh no, my kids better not be listening to this. otherwise, I'm that guy. I'll make sure I whisper it. But I just remember the next day, I remember winning. I remember that experience. I remember like, whoa, I just won. That's pretty awesome. But I remember the next day, like people coming over to me and being like, hey, Kona, you were the only freshman that won. And I didn't know that until people started saying it. I was like, oh, is that a big deal? That's kind of cool. Felt like such a hot shot. Oh, high score. What does that mean? Did I break it? But we've also got very big lows as well. And I'm not talking about Home Depot. We're talking about humbling experiences. And I think staying with wrestling, I remember trying to hype myself up and smacking my head against. So we're talking Marlboro High School Gymnasium. So if any of you have ever been, you can maybe just get a visual of this. And they have the old thermostats. So the padded walls. Yes, Marlboro High School has padded walls. That tells you all you need to know. But the padded walls in the gym, right where the wrestlers would warm up before they go out into the center of the mat and have their match, there was a little thermostat. And to protect the thermostat from being fiddled with, I guess, was a like metal like casing or like a cage. And I went to slam my head on the padded wall, and I kind of missed. And smashed my head on the metal cage. So that didn't hype me up.
That just hurt.
It just hurt. And the worst part of that is like I'm trying to like look tough and be like, all right, come on, let's do this. And then, oh my God, my head.
Yeah, you're like yelling, and then like just blood starts coming out of your skull.
Yeah, I didn't. I don't think I bled. I don't remember. I may have had a concussion. I don't know. Who knows? I lost the match, though, obviously. Jason, humbling experience. Have you had any that stand out?
I've had, you know, a lot. But, I mean, one major one I felt was, like, we played the best team in, like, New Jersey, New York Red Bull. And at their youth team is, like, ridiculously good. They're all, like, 6 feet tall. They're all like, you can't touch them. And me being a shorter guy, it's very difficult. And, you know, it's not that we didn't play bad. Is that, you know, it's just at this age, it's very difficult to compete because they're handpicked and treated to perfection. And we got destroyed, like, I don't even know, like 6-7-0. But, you know, whatever score it was, I felt, you know, how tall you ever be, you can still have a weakness. So,
yeah,
I still went hard, and every tackle was 100%. Every ball was 100%. Everything I did, I tried my best.
It's a humbling experience, though, man, where you're kind of like drop back down to reality, where you're like, our team is good. And then you see them, and you're like,
yeah,
oh, man, we're not as good as we thought we were. Alan, what about you? Humbling experience.
I've had multiple humbling experiences, both in Taekwondo and in chess, but I would say that it'd be the pandemic, because before it was like, you're bored, you can just walk, you can walk around the block and hopefully find something to do, or you can just like ask someone to take you over to someone's house, and then you can hang out, and then you won't be bored anymore. But now we're trapped at home, and well, now we get to feel what zoo animals really feel like, and it's really humbling.
Yeah. I got nothing. I agree. I feel like a zoo animal now. Oh, man. Annette, what about you? Humbling experience.
I agree with Alan. It's definitely pandemic. I haven't been to my Taekwondo school in a year and a month.
Ooh.
And it really, really took an impact. Like, I still want to go so bad. And things that I didn't even enjoy before became like memories. Like sparring against someone who can actually beat me. I guess the air isn't too cool for me. But yeah, definitely. I never enjoyed sparring or having someone to do the strikes or do whatever we had to do together. And I think Taekwondo was just not like a learning experience for me. It was also something that it was social. It was meeting people like Jason. I met him through Taekwondo, and other people, like one of my Taekwondo best friends. So
yeah there's that pandemic. And that it's like, again, it's like the that team building aspect, right? You're all sacrificing something to get to something. That was really vague. That was terribly worded. But I feel like, I think you understand what I mean. Like, you're all giving up parts of things that you love, whether it's free time or whether it's going out with friends when that was a thing. But you all have this common goal. So it's like, you're giving up your time doing this, or you got to make, you know, you got to stay up till 2 a.m. getting work done for school. You know, I'm giving up, you know, doing, you know, this thing that I want to do, but we both have the same goal in mind. And it's almost like this team building to try to get there. So, Annette, we could stay with you there. Is that a big part for you as far as like that experience where you felt like you were a part of like a team, you felt like something bigger than just you solo?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Like every time I'll talk about basketball, because for Taekwondo right now, it's not much of a team thing for me.
Yeah.
But in basketball, every time that I'm on that court or every time we are on that court, it's like we empower each other. We're taking our strengths and taking someone else's strengths and putting them together to win. And I definitely, I remember one of these basketball games and we went into three overtimes. And I'm the tallest person on my team. So every time I'm doing the tip off, and it's like that pressure is like, and there's another tall person and she's like the same height as me. And we're like jumping for the ball and trying to get it. Either it's behind us or in front of us. And you can't like get that nice grip. And I remember being so tired, but that day, like it was so close. It's like one person gets 1 point and then we come back and then get the same point. And it's like a tie. And then finally, with the strength of all of us, we won that game. So,
wow.
That was definitely a team building.
Did I hear a triple overtime?
Yep. I'm not kidding.
Well, yeah, that's nuts. I mean, and I could imagine not just physically how tired you were, but also just mentally. But those are experiences when you win. On top of it, you're all like bonded for life. Alan, what about you? Team experience where you really felt like it was – you were a part of something bigger than just you.
Well, there was one particular moment where I actually felt as part of a team. So at the Dojang at Taekwondo, I was just another kid. I really wasn't someone important. I would take the classes, I would attend, I would be enthusiastic and everything. But I never attended tournaments or anything. But at one point, I was about to leave the Dojang, and then my coach came over and they actually invited me and my brother to participate in a tournament. But I play chess on the weekends and the tournament was scheduled for the weekend, so I couldn't play it. But I still felt that I was actually part of a team.
That's awesome. Jason, what about you?
I've played on a lot of teams and done a lot of good things, but mainly was when I actually got invited to play in an MLS Academy team, and I feel like, you know, it's an honor because in this country MLS is like the highest league, like you can't get better than that. So being a part of a team like that is like very important for me.
That's awesome. So, and that's a huge accomplishment. Any regrets along the way with this? Because, you know, I know we were talking a little bit about like sacrifices that you make, and sometimes that kind of could be a regret. I know for me, I don't know if I would call it a regret. I try to really take the perspective that like that happened for a reason that led me to the next thing, that opened up some kind of opportunity for the next thing. So I don't know if I want to call it a regret, but maybe I wish I learned a little bit more from it at the time, but I didn't take school seriously. And I don't want to say I got kicked off the team. I was thrown off the team. No, my dad basically said, like, if you don't get your grades together and start actually like doing work, I'm going to pull you from wrestling. And he did. And then I never went back to wrestling again. But I think that opened up opportunities and doors for me that I wouldn't have had if I was wrestling, and you know, got me to, took me along my journey. But But I still think, though, like, that is something, though, that I'm constantly trying to stress to my students too, is that, you know, like, you do have to be able to balance both of these things. Maybe someone won't take you off the team, but I clearly was just incapable of time management at the time. And I know, Annette, you're like, I don't know, I'm going to say you're good at it, probably. You might kind of be like, no, I don't know, but I could hear it. It sounds like you have a better head on your shoulders in regards to time management than I did in ninth grade. So any regrets that you guys have had so far along the way?
Well, one of my regrets was leaving the dojo because of the pandemic and testing fees.
Yeah, you're like leaving something behind. How long were you doing Taekwondo for?
I started Taekwondo probably when I was 8 or 7, and then we moved. So I did Taekwondo for a while, and then I moved, and we just dropped Taekwondo. And then after that, we found another dojo where we could practice Taekwondo, and then we started it up again before we left again for the pandemic.
You've been doing it for a while, so I think like that makes it always hard when you give up something or close a chapter of your life that you've been a part of for so long. For me, I wrestled for 2 years. It was a cool experience. It definitely taught me a lot that I still carry with me in ways, but it really was like a quick snapshot in my whole life. Not like obviously for you, where you since you were 7, like that's a long time. That's like half your life, right?
Yeah.
Right? That's a long time.
Yeah, I've been doing Taekwondo since I was 6. I'm almost 14, so.
Yeah, and then and Jason, you said you've been playing soccer since you were 4 too, right?
Yeah, so I've committed to a lot of activities.
So, and I'm sure, unfortunately, there's probably, maybe, I don't know, any regret at some point with either of those sports?
I mean, I wouldn't call them regrets, but like I feel every decision I've made up to this point has been the correct decision at that time in my options. But I mean, I'm going to actually go to Taekwondo. My first tournament, right? I was probably like 6 at the time. And we'd like train and practice before. And I just got nervous. Like 6-year-old me couldn't, like, it was a tournament. I was super hyped, but like.
Of course.
I was like, what am I doing? So I went to my dad and I just had like 10, 15 minutes. I grabbed his phone and like played whatever I played. I played some games and recuperated. And then I started practicing. I'm pretty sure I won first place in sparring, like fighting. But I don't know if I won first place in forms. But
okay,
like, because I wasn't practicing. I was just like messing around and wasn't focused. But it was kind of like an icebreaker for me. How it's going to be.
Yeah. You know what, though? First of all, I love your perspective. Like, no regrets. But no regrets. You're like, you know what? Everything I've made was the right decision at the time. My goodness, what an awesome perspective. And I agree with you personally. But I think 6-year-old Jason needed to be able to go on his father's phone and play games so that you didn't, like, completely, like, so you didn't hit your head on, like, a thermostat metal grating trying to, like, amp yourself up or calm yourself down, right? So it was the right decision at that moment. Who knows what would have happened if you just freaked out
maybe
for 5 minutes.
Maybe I wouldn't even like a place that would have just been like last.
Forget about that. I think maybe you would have just associated that freak out with Taekwondo and maybe dropped it.
I mean, yeah. My dad is like very strict. Like he's put so much foundations for me like since
sure.
6 to 10 years old that like now I can, I don't want to say like be myself, but like I can make the correct decision and
yeah,
go on the correct path and have the same mentality normally.
Dude, well, you definitely have a good mentality. That's awesome. I love hearing that. Annette, what about you? Any regrets or any, maybe we don't even have to call them regrets. We could call them, what else could we call them?
Maybe like learning experiences or like
negative learning experiences.
Negative.
Any negative learning experiences?
I'm gonna have to think on this one because
and that's okay if there are none.
I don't really have any regrets. Like Jason said, I think every decision was the right one at that time. I actually played soccer for a very short time, just one season, spring. And I really wish I had done it more because I enjoyed it, but I don't think that was the thing for me. Like finding basketball, especially I wish I had got that click in basketball and taekwondo a little bit more faster so I could enjoy it more before the pandemic came and like completely ruined everything.
Yeah.
I think that maybe is my biggest regret, like not having that like that click that, oh, I love this sport. Like this is where I do my best.
Yeah. Sometimes I think the click, that aha moment, as Mrs. Panagrosso, my junior year English teacher, would always talk about. Like, I think that sometimes those moments, we try to force them and we're like, no, I have to have them now. But they don't like happen. And what you learn in the moment or what you think you're learning in the moment isn't really kind of the message you'll take with you. The best example I could give you that I'm thinking of right now, and it's freshman year, I'm wrestling. They always said, it's a different world. I can't believe I'm going to say this right now during a pandemic. If you've got the sniffles, you better show up. If you've got a cold, you better show up. What kind of statement is that now? It's so crazy saying that out loud. If you've got a fever, but you're not throwing up, you better show up. Like they basically were like, unless you're dead, show up.
It's a mentality.
And if you're dead, yeah. And I think what they're really trying to do is they're telling you like,
it's more like a warrior mentality.
It is, yeah, right? I think also it's like, listen, don't make excuses. You're probably not as sick as you think you are. Because if you're not, if you're coming to school and then not going to practice, then you're probably not that sick. Again, that's totally different. Again, weird saying that in 2021 right now, still in the midst of a pandemic. Like, come to school sick. Go and cough on the mat sick. Wow, what a world. I think I was just feeling run down. It was the middle of the winter. I had some kind of cold. I went home after practice. I'm on the freshman team. I went home after practice. I get home. I took a nap. I woke up. I felt a little better. And the phone rings. House phone. We don't have cell phones back then. My mom comes over to me and she's like, hey, Michael, wake up. It's your coach. I'm like, Coach Moretz called? And she's like, no, it's the varsity coach. And I'm like, what? What? Why is he calling? So I answer the phone. He's like, hey, where were you today? Oh, man. Sorry, coach. Yeah, I just wasn't feeling well. And he's like, oh, man, are you feeling better? And I'm like, yeah, I am. Alan's laughing because he knows where this is going to go. he's like, you're feeling better? I'm like, I'm like, how do I answer that? Yes? No? I'm dying. I'm dead, actually. He's like, oh, well, you know, the reason I was calling was because I was really disappointed. I went down to the freshman room. I was looking to bring someone up to JV for the day and then maybe bump them for the next match. And I was looking for you and you weren't there.
No.
And I'm like, oh yeah. My heart like sunk. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I'll see you tomorrow. He's like, well, I mean, I don't know. We grabbed somebody else. So, you know, the opportunity is probably not going to be there, but I just wanted to make sure you were okay. And then hung up. And I was like,
he just hung
up. Oh my God. Well, I don't remember if he just hung up, but for the sake of the story, yeah, it was that dramatic where he was like, you know, all right, bye, loser. So I obviously you can imagine for 12 hours or 20 hours or whatever until the next day when I went to school, I was beating myself up pretty bad about it. I go in, I ask teammate on the freshman team, hey, so I heard coach whoever, whatever came to grab me for JV. No, he didn't. I asked another person. No, he didn't. I asked some of the JV and varsity kids. No, he didn't. He wasn't like, what are you talking? No, he didn't. What are you talking about? I'm like, he called me. He said that. No, he didn't.
He just got played hard.
I got played so hard. And I hated this guy because of that. Because I felt like he played me. He messed with my emotions. And I took that message that I should hate him for so long. It wasn't until after, like years later, where I kind of like, I still think about that story and I'm like, you know what? It was a little bit of gentle manipulation. He kind of let me know, like, you know what? Someone's going to take your spot. And yeah, it's a lie. And maybe that's wrong to manipulate and lie to kids like that. But I think my perspective on that story is a lot different at 34 than it was at 15, because I kind of look at it as now like, you know what? He kind of was like, hey, I maybe could trust you that you could excel at this level. But if you're going to go home because you got the sniffles, then I don't know if you're all that committed. And you know what? He was right. I wasn't all that committed, obviously. So different perspective. But yeah. But all right. So maybe that's a funny experience. I kind of think it is a funny experience. I still like it's funny. Like I'm not like, I hate that man. I don't even remember his name. And I guarantee you he would not remember this story at all. Like that's how insignificant it was. For him. I'm sure he was making phone calls every day just messing with 14-year-olds.
And trying to get them like, on their game.
Yeah, trying to get them on their game. Yeah. And sometimes you're trying to motivate individuals, right? And every individual – because that motivated me because the next day I went into practice like I was lit on fire. And I was ready to like – he's going to come in and he's going to see me and he's going to like – and I'm going to get my chance now. No, it didn't happen. As we're winding down here and I'm having so much fun to get in a chat with you guys about this. I could talk to you guys for like the whole afternoon about sports and all this stuff.
It's probably practically just common sense. Falling down is common, but falling down is life, but getting up is living. You have to be able to get up. You have to be able to understand that no matter what happens, there will always be something afterwards. There will always be light at the end of the tunnel, even if it's Darth Vader.
How do you top that? Thanks for listening. Make sure that you are following us on social media so you can stay up to date on all the happenings and big things that are coming up, especially the logo design reveal coming up soon. So excited for you to get to see this new amazing logo that we have chosen, that Student Council has chosen, that is a clear winner. You can follow us on Twitter at TheMonarchXP. You can add us on Snapchat at The Monarch Experience Podcast. And until then, until next time, stay safe, stay hungry.